Hello and welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. And today I have with me Rich DiZarega, and we'll be continuing on our getting started journey, and this time focusing on Node.js connecting into Office 365 Files API.
That's right. You know, we are really open in terms of supporting popular platforms. Node is incredibly popular right now.
Yep.
And so we have some really great capabilities to build great Node applications. And, you know, I think it's funny. I noticed that in our intro, like, there's all these little, like, coffee mugs sitting up. And the one that falls over is .NET. What are we trying to say there?
We're not trying to say anything.
We love .NET. Anyway, so we're going to do Node today. And we're going to build just a simple standalone application that connects into our APIs to do that.
Excellent.
Cool. So, you know, the first step of getting started is getting started. It sounds a little bit weird, but we have a page out on dev.office.com. It's dev.office.com/getting-started. It's also in the main menu of dev.office.com. But if you come out here, there's a kind of a menu of the different things you might want to get started developing with.
Yep.
And we're going to concentrate on this Office 365 APIs. So if you click getting started here, it gives you a little bit of background. It gives you a little sandbox where you can try it against one of your tenants. And then down at the very bottom, it'll let you specify, well, what platform are you building for? We're building for Node, so it talks a little bit about how I might get started building for Node. And it talks even about how I might register an application. So what's cool here is through the actual getting started page, mm-hmm. I can go and register an application with Azure Active Directory. So behind the scenes, Azure Active Directory plays the role of the identity provider and the token provider for mm-hmm. all of this. And so you can see I can provide an application name, a sign-in URL, a redirect URL, and I can specify the different services. So these are a few of the services. There's actually a lot more that I can leverage that are available in the full-fledged Azure portal, but this is a really good place for getting started.
Exactly. It's a nice little intro, and I know that the team is working actively on adding more of the options into this view as well along the way, but this is great because now when you sign up for the dev program right on the homepage of dev.office.com and you get your free developer tenant, you no longer need the Azure tenant if you're just going to play around and do some quick things if you need your client ID and secret, right?
That's right. So I've, just for the sake of time, I've created one of these already. I mean, when you do this, ultimately the output is you get a client ID, a client secret, and then you can go import that. So I've cheated. I have that here in my notepad. I'm ready to start using it in my application. So we're going to go right to creating the scaffolding of my Node application. There's obviously a ton of different tools that you can use for building Node. I'm the presenter here today, so I'm going to kind of go with what I like. So I'm going to use Express and Handlebars. So the default templating engine that Express uses, if you don't specify any different settings, is Jade. I'm not as big of a fan of that. I find Handlebars to be a little bit closer to what I used to do when I did a lot of .NET MVC stuff.
Yeah.
So let's get to town on that. I'm just going to open a terminal here, and we're going to start by initializing a new Express application by typing Express. We'll call this the Channel 9 Node project, and I'm going to specify that I want the handlebars option here. So just doing --HBS, mm-hmm. it's going to create the handlebars scaffolding that I want to use. So I'm going to go ahead and say go, and it's going to go put all this in here. So I'm going to go ahead and change directories to my Channel 9 Node project.
Yep.
And we're going to do just an npm install. And that's what it's going to do. It's going to go take all these dependencies on that Express project that we've kind of defined and pull all that stuff into our actual project. So we'll do just a quick npm install, and then I'll pull all that great goodness into our project. There we go. We're done. The next thing I'm going to do is import something else into our project. I'm going to install the ADAL node library.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not familiar with ADAL, it is the Azure Active Directory Authentication Libraries.
Yep.
I get that wrong every time. But ADAL, you know, we love our acronyms. And so ADAL basically makes authentication and getting tokens really, really easy. So it's going to make that job almost transparent to me so that I can just work with APIs.
Yep. And we actually have created, or the AD team, Azure AD team, have actually created ADAL libraries for the various frameworks and technology. So we have an ADAL library for Android development, one for iOS, one for Node, and one for Angular that we saw last time we did our Getting Started series. So all of these libraries that are specific to the technologies that are the assisters, if you will, or the helpers to get you get started much quicker.
That's right. That's awesome. Right. So let's go ahead and install it. We'll say install or npm install. And we're going to install the ADAL-node. And I want to save it locally. It just makes it easier if I were to go and deploy this out to Heroku or whatever. So we'll just go ahead and run this. That's going to pull this in here. And then I'm going to go right into the IDE I'm going to use for doing node development. Lots of options there, obviously. If you haven't checked out Visual Studio Code for node development, it is pretty amazing.
Yep.
It's free, first of all. It has full debugging, as you'll see me do in this this demonstration today. So I'm going to just go ahead and basically open the current location in Visual Studio Code. So what you'll find is it created that scaffolding of a project for me. So you can see I have some route scripts defined that are using handlebars. Mm-hmm. In fact, here are those handlebars files. So I have a layout, which is like my kind of like, it's like a master page. It's like the main layout. And then I have partials that I can load in there. I have an app.js, so you can see all the goodness in here.
Nice.
Actually, if I come in here and I type app and press dot, I don't have IntelliSense. That's unfortunate. Well, the reason for this is that Visual Studio Code uses TypeScript definitions. And so one of the great things is if TypeScript definitions exist for something that I want to use, I can definitely import those. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to do a TypeScript definition. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to query for Node. And let's query for Express. And what we're going to do, and I did not spell Express right. Express, and we're going to do an action of install. So let me press that here really quickly.
And that's going to get all of your IntelliSense goodness back?
It should. So there we go. We got our TypeScripts loaded. And if I were to come back to my project and just do a quick refresh, there you can see the typings that are in here. So I have Express and Node. And so theoretically, sometimes I've this has been a little quirky with me. If I do app, well, I think what I probably need to do is, let me just save this. We'll try. Well, I know what we need to do here, but we'll get our IntelliSense going here in just a moment. And I am actually going to do one last thing in this file is I'm going to define what port we're going to listen in on. So I'm going to say app.listen, and we're going to listen on 5858. So I have that defined in a configuration, but I'm going to put that in here as well. Really, this app.js is done. Mm-hmm. The great thing about Express is the Express generator basically built this for us, and we really, it's done.
Right.
Like, there's nothing else to do here. All I have to do now is start doing the things that I need to build a great-looking application. So we'll go ahead and close this because we're actually done with the app.js file. There's a few other things we need to do here is, you know, I'm not big on building my own style sheets if I don't have to, so I'm going to pull in Bootstrap. I'm not really going to use the JavaScript side of that, just really the styles side of that. And to do that, I'm going to use Bower. So I'm going to come in here and we'll just do a Bower init. And I'm going to accept all the defaults. We'll do a little bit of Bower configuration after this, but for now I'm just going to accept all these defaults just to say that this project is going to use Bower for its client-side import. Mm-hmm. So we used npm to pull in node modules, but for the client-side stuff we're going to use Bower here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a Bower config. So we'll just do a Bower RC. And again, that should show up if I just do a refresh. There it is. And let's go ahead and define where, what this is going to tell us is we want to tell it where we're going to put all of the scripts that get imported. We actually already have a public folder. That's what the Express generator gave us. So what I'm going to do is put those in there in a libs folder. So I'm going to come in here and just say public/libs. So let me just expand this and show you the beauty of Bower at work. We'll come back in here now that we've saved our Bower configuration. And let's do a Bower install bootstrap. And we'll save it local. So I'll go ahead and run this. There it goes. It's pulling it in. And obviously, Bootstrap is dependent on jQuery, so it's going to pull that in as well. So if I were to now come back over to my project and refresh it, there's our libs. We have Bootstrap and we have jQuery.
Nice.
Speaking of those, Let's go ahead and in our main layout, mm-hmm. let's go ahead and reference those in our main layout. So I'm going to come over here to views. And in our main layout, you can see, again, it kind of created that scaffolding for me already. So I have kind of the primary layout. If you look at that, the three curly brackets and body,
yep.
that's basically saying, here's where we're going to put the dynamic view for this page. Mm-hmm. So I could actually build out more here. I could put menus and all that thing. This is a very simplistic example. So what I'm going to do, first of all, is let's actually replace. I'm not even going to use this the default style it gives me. Let's go ahead and do our, so we'll do libs, and it's going to be Bootstrap. And I think it's going to be under the dist folder, CSS. And we'll do bootstrap.min.css. Let me just validate that here really quick. Libs, bootstrap, dist. Yeah, we're good. Good, good.
Nice.
Awesome. Next thing is I'm going to go ahead and put the jQuery and Bootstrap references, especially if you're doing some of the responsive stuff.
Yep.
You know, it does need some of the script stuff. So we'll go ahead and put just a script times two. I love doing emit type things to quickly generate these.
That's nice.
And we'll do a little bit of script includes here. So I'm going to cheat just so I don't have to hand type this whole thing in again because it's going to be pretty similar. So actually, first let's do jQuery. So we'll do libs/jQuery/dist. And this is going to be jQuery.min.js. And our second one will be the Bootstrap.
You know what's funny is I think we spend more time pulling in all these libraries and scripts than actually connecting to the APIs.
The API stuff is actually like super simple once we get past all this other stuff.
Okay, two lines.
Yeah.
Because right? You get the data, then you display the data.
There we go. So we have this all set up now. Basically, this layout's yep. done. There's not a whole lot to it, but it's done. So what I want to turn my attention to now is, let's turn our attention back to authentication.
Yep.
We have the ADAL library imported in here, but I'm going to even make that easier. This is I do this so often, I actually have a code snippet for it, but I'm going to create a quick auth helper that's going to, it's going to be where I store like my app specific things, and it's also going to help, it's going to create some utility functions for me. So let's go ahead and add that here at my root. So I'm just going to create a new file. We'll call this authhelper.js. And again, I told you I'm going to completely cheat here and just use my code snippet because it's the exact same code every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have things for like get token from refresh token. So refresh token is what, if I wanted to like persist so someone doesn't have to log in every mm-hmm. time, I could store a refresh token. Get token from code. So the first step in an OAuth process with Azure AD is I'm going to take the user to sign in, and then after they sign in, Azure is going to send them back to a specific page that I've specified with a code. And so what I'm going to use that code for is getting a token. So that's what this does. It gets token from code. That very first step of I need to redirect the user to sign in, I have a utility for that as well. So I have this get auth URL.
Mm.
So this is basically all the details I need to basically build a great app.
Nice.
The only thing I really need to do is up here, I do have some app-specific things. So you can see I have a client ID, a client secret, a redirect URL. Obviously, if you're well aware of OAuth, a secret is probably something you want to be a little bit more careful about. But for the purpose of this demo, we just want to show you the quick happy path for this. So I'm just going to actually put it in this file. So let's first grab our client ID. We'll go ahead and paste that in here. Let's get our client secret. Paste it in here. Let's get our redirect. So again, we're using port 5858. We've already said we're going to listen yep. on that port. So I'm going to go ahead and put this in here. And this file is done. We're ready to just consume it. It definitely uses that ADAL library. So if you look at the very top line, you can see that it says, we're going to require ADAL-node. That's that library we imported. And then it uses it throughout. So if you look down in here, you can see I'm doing things like auth context, mm-hmm. acquire token. I mean, all this yep. is stuff that ADAL gives us that's really easy when you use that library.
Nice.
Awesome. So what we need to do now is we need basically two views. We need our view of data,
mm-hmm.
And then we need our view to log in. And there's going to be some logic that if the user tries to come and view the data, we're going to say, I'm going to kick you out to login. And then login's going to handle that whole process. And once we have a token, we'll send the user back to data, or back to view data. So this is all handled in our route that that was set up by the Express generator. Mm-hmm. So you can see right now we just have one really simple route set up that is just the home route. We're going to go ahead, I'm just going to copy this because we're going to create a new route, and it just I don't have a snippet for this, so I'm just going to cheat that way. And what we're going to do is let's define a login route. So let's just define a login. And I'll build out all of login first, and then we'll deal with the data side. I mean, really, the important thing to know on the data view that's going to show secure information is I'm going to check from the very start. What I want to do is I'm going to say request, and I'm going to look for a cookie named a specific thing. And actually, I'm going to go back to my auth. I hard code my keys just to make it a little bit more type safe. But so I'm going to say cookies. So if this is, let's say it's undefined. So let's say undefined. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to redirect them. So I'm going to say response.redirect. I'm going to redirect them to the login view. That's the important thing you need to know is that, hey, if they come in to see data, let's take them to login. So we'll do the actual API stuff here in a moment. Let's finish the logic for the login page. So for the login page, what I want to do is, remember, we want to, as part of login, we want to send the user to a page in Azure to sign in.
Yep.
And then they'll pass back a code. So what we want to do is check for that code. That's the most important thing on the login page. So we'll just do a request. And I'm going to look at the query parameters. And I'm going to look for a code. So we're going to say, if the code is equal to undefined, then at that point, we actually want them to actually click a sign-in button, right? We don't have all the information we need to get tokens. So in this case, what we're going to do is I'm going to just go and render our view. So I'm just going to copy an example of a render here. This one is the index, but instead we're going to render login, and the title of this will be login to Office 365.
Yep.
But the key here is I'm going to start using some of our great libraries that we're going to use inside of our application. In fact, I'm going to make sure we import all the right ones here. So let's set up a few of these. Let's do a var auth context, and this is going to be equal to require, and we're going to require adal-node, and we're going to say authentication context. We're also going to import our auth helper, so let's do auth helper equals require. And in this case, it's going to be a relative path. Yep. So this is an actual, it's not in a library, it's in our own file. So we're going to say auth helper.js. And the last thing is we're going to use HTTPS. So we're going to do a require HTTPS. This is what we're going to use to actually make REST calls out to our directory.
Yep.
Or our APIs. Okay. So we have all that defined. Now I can actually, what I needed was this auth helper. So now that I have the auth helper, what we're going to say is, in addition to passing a title, and I'll zoom in on this here. So this is what the data that I'm passing to the view. Mm-hmm. We're passing a title, so it can display the title. But I can pass any other data I want to this handlebars view. So what I'm going to pass here is we'll just say auth redirect. So we're going to pass an auth redirect, and it's going to be equal to, we'll use our auth helper, dot get auth URL. So that's using that library that's going to say, hey, here's that, because the actual redirect URL, it's pretty long. It has things like the client ID, the URL we want to come back to with the code. It has all those details, and this is going to handle all that for us. So pretty simple is we're just going to check for that. If the code is there, so let's say that we've come back from Azure AD and I have a code, we're going to put an else here and actually handle that code. So what we're going to do with that code is we're going to call our auth helper, and we're going to say get token from code. And this is going to pass a few parameters. What we need is the resource that we're going to use. So I'm going to say HTTPS. And we're going to use graph.microsoft.com. We're using the new unified API for this.
Yep.
The next thing it needs is the code, which in this case is, we've already looked at it. It's req query.code. And then finally, we have a callback that's going to give us our token. So we'll just put a quick callback here with our token. And actually, I may have missed something. I'm just going to check one other thing here. Auth helper. I think this requires a resource. It does. So I need to pass the resource here. A resource, when I'm getting tokens, tokens in Azure Active Directory are resource specific, or what I like to consider service specific.
Yep.
So if I was connecting to maybe Exchange, I might need one type of token. If I am connecting to SharePoint, I might need another. Actually, this unified API simplifies all that because it allows me to go to all those services with one token, but I do want to specify that's the resource I'm looking for information from. Okay, so if we get a token back, what I'm going to do is simply specify some information here. We're going to basically put this into a cookie. So we'll just do a response.cookie. And in this, we're going to put our auth helper, and here's where I use my keys. So we're going to put the token cache key, and in this we'll put token dot refresh token. Don't want to put access tokens in cache. It's always better to use a refresh token. They last a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a nice sliding window of time. And then the other thing, I'm going to put another cookie in here. So we'll do response cookie. And this one will be auth helper dot tenant. I want to know what the tenant is. And the good thing is that the token comes back with that. So I'll say tenant ID. That looks right. Sonia.
Yes.
You are a coding pro. What do you think I need to do after everything's done in login? What do you think I need to do? How about go back to get data? Show data.
We should show data.
Let's show data. So let's do response.redirect. So we're going to redirect it this time back to just the root, which is where our data is stored. So this login controller is basically done. This is all done. It has all our logic in it. Again, just to kind of highlight, we're looking to see if a code's there. If it's not there, then we're going to let them log in.
Yep.
We're going to wire up the button to log in. Otherwise, we're going to go get the token from the code and do some things with it.
Save that off and then
yep.
Have them go get the data.
There we go. So let's finish the happy path on the actual data side. So what we've done so far is say, hey, if they don't have a token in cache, then hey, we can't help you. You need to go to login. But if they do have a token, what we're going to do is that token that's cached is a refresh token. It's not the access token I actually use to get data. So what we're going to do is use our auth helper to, that's not what I wanted, is we're going to do auth helper.
I think you're pasting in your snippet.
I am pasting in my snippet. So do auth helper dot get token from refresh token. And so in this, again, it's going to take a resource. So we'll use that same graph .microsoft.com. And the next parameter it wants is the refresh token itself. So what we can do here is we can simply say request cookies. And the one we want is our token cache key. So we'll go ahead and put that in here. And then finally, we're going to have a callback that will provide us a token. So that was a lot of work, not too much, but that was a work to get to the point where we can start calling APIs.
Nice.
And this is pretty repeatable. You could use this in almost any project. Now it's just a matter of making a pure REST call. So what I'm going to do down here, I've created a quick snippet for this. It's just an HTTP GET using normal Node JavaScript syntax. So you can see I'm specifying some options. The really important one here, if we really want to boil down to it, is this. We're specifying an authorization bearer. So we're passing the token in the header.
Yep.
And that's what's going to allow us to get through and get to data. But this is just going to return a raw JSON string. So let's actually call this here. We'll call a get JSON.
Yep.
And what it's going to take is the host, which in this case is graph.microsoft.com. It wants the relative path. So we're going to go to, right now, the unified API is in beta. So we'll say beta-me-files. The next thing we need is the token, which we have at this point. It's token.access token. And then finally, a callback function that's going to return us a JSON string. So we'll just put JSON here. So this guy is pretty much done. The only thing we really need to do is let's actually render our view. So let me just cut this and let's put it back up here where we actually have some data. Mm-hmm. So in this case, let's give it a title. We'll say my files. And let's say files are equal to, in this case, we need to parse that JSON string. It's actually a string that came back. So what I'm going to say is JSON.parse, and we're going to pass in that the JSON that we came back from our service. Our coding, our functionality is done. Really, all we have now is to do a little bit in our actual partial views. So the first partial view we need is for the login itself. So if I go under here under views, let's go ahead and create a login. So I'm just going to come up here to files, and we'll create login.hbs. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be pretty simple. It's just going to be a button. So we'll just say button. Let's give it some pretty classes. So we'll say button primary.
And this is where our Bootstrap comes in.
Yeah, that's the only reason we did Bootstrap in this case, and button block. And we'll say login with Office 365. Now, I need to call a login function. So I'm going to do this client side. So I'm going to say onClick, we're going to call, or not onLoad, onClick, we're going to call login. So I need to define that login. I'm going to just do it right here at the bottom. We'll say script, and I'll just make it some text. All right, here's where we're going to actually start doing some things with handlebars. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to say is function login. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say window.location. That's how we do a client-side redirect. But what I'm going to do here is use some of the handlebar syntax. So I'm going to put bracket. And now I can grab anything that the view controller is passing back. So if I go back to index, we're passing back something called auth redirect. So I'm going to use that now in our handlebars page. I'm going to say auth redirect. Now the only thing I'm going to do here that's a little bit tricky, and I actually need to see what my syntax here is this actually creates, it does some, handlebars does some URL encoding. So it encodes things. So I'm just going to do a really quick replace on this. And what I'm going to replace is I'm going to replace any ampersand with a real one. So we'll just do a G in here. Let's see, I think that's right. Yep, that looks good. So I think that's, this page is done. I mean, that's all we needed. Nice. It's just to do a quick redirect. Now let's turn our attention to our index page. We already have our title, so we just need to insert a table. So I'll just do a quick table. We'll give it some classes to make it look pretty. Let's do table, striped and table hover. We'll define a table head in here with a row and maybe three headers. So, that did not work the way I wanted. TH times three. So we'll do the file name. Mm-hmm. Let's do the file type. Let's do the file size. And now let's get dynamic with things. So here's where handlebars comes in. So let's do a table body. And in here we'll do, what we're going to do is a repeat. And here's how you do it in handlebars. I do my double brackets. Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to say is I want each. And what I want to say files.value. So I know that what actually is coming back here is the actual files under an attribute in the JSON called value. Mm-hmm. What it's going to do, it's going to enumerate that for us. So what I can do is anything in here, and I need to end my each, so I just do end each, and I'll zoom in on that here, so you can see that I have my each files.value, and anything inside of that will repeat. So I can do a TR here, and then we'll do our three table cells, and then I can, it's all contextual. I can simply say name, I can say, type was our second one, mm-hmm. And then the last one is size. So size. Okay, I think we're done.
Are we done?
I think we're done. So here's where Visual Studio Code, I think Visual Studio Code's great in general, but here's where it gets really cool is we can actually do some debugging. So I can specify a debug file and actually, let me do, this is a one thing with the debugging is usually I set this up at the beginning. You know what, actually I should be able to come back in here. Yeah, okay, so we should be good. So I'm gonna go ahead and press play here and this will go and check to see if there are any errors. Looks like we're good, it started, so let me open up an in-private window, and let's go to our localhost page. So localhost 5858, mm-hmm. There we go. So nice. It kicked us to log in, so I'll do that again here. If I try to go to the root, it's gonna kick us to log in. In fact, here's where Visual Studio Code gets really cool is, if I wanna go to our view controller that all that logic is defined in, let's go over here to, I'll put a breakpoint in here. Watch, I'll refresh this. Oh, well, I need to refresh from the root. Is we hit our breakpoint, and I can actually step through this. I can set watches. I can look at all this. So you can see it said that token cache key is undefined, and so it's taking us to the login. So I'm just going to go ahead and play this, and let's see it all work. So when I click login with Office 365, it's going to do the window.location.
Yep.
To take us away from here. So look, I'm in Azure, I'm logging in. So we'll do, actually I want to use a different account here. We'll do dxdemos.net and put in my password. So now it should bring us back and it happened really quick, voila. But it brought us to login and then said, well wait, I have a code. I can take that code to get an access token and then I can finally come in here and display your data because I have a token. So there you go. I have files and you have a Node application from nothing to something.
That's fantastic. All using Azure AD authentication.
All using Azure AD authentication.
And unified API.
That's right. And a lot of the things that we give you in terms of like the ADAL for Node to make it easy.
Awesome.
Unified API, it's all
very
good
cool
stuff.
And this is all in GitHub?
It's all in GitHub.
Fantastic.
Grab it, learn it, and build apps.
Go get started. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Go enjoy our Node.js sample and get started building your Node apps that connect to Office 365 today. Thank you and happy coding.